Well, good morning again. You can make your way back to your seats. And again, if you didn't get to catch my name's Pastor Keith. Welcome here. And you know, I just got to share real quick. I don't know what that last song spoke to you, but I am a father. And, you know, it just spoke to me this morning in a very humbling way that his name and my authority, if you will, as a father comes from him. Right? He has called me into that role and blessed me with that opportunity, but it all comes from him. So unless I'm connected with him, I'm going to miss some things, right? I'm going to mess some things up, and I'm still not going to do it perfect. But he's so forgiving and so good, and he is a good, good heavenly father. So if you are here with family or whatever, we do have a photo backdrop if you want to capture this Father's Day moment or whatever. But with that, good morning again, and are we there yet? Are we there yet? Anyone who's ever been on a road trip with children, okay, or maybe even with finicky adults, right, has heard that phrase, and maybe even you've heard that phrase over and over and over again and again, right? As my family has traveled through the years, that is a question that is asked far too often, okay? Jokingly, it may be fun to tell those with you that we're already there. It's just the driveway's super long, right? Hashtag bad dad jokes, okay? Or one of my go-tos is to say this, every time the tire turns, kids, we're a little closer. Both of which, okay, when I've done those things, they are to receive a sigh, okay? Not of relief, but annoyance, right? That's what I get back from that. With that today, we are going to continue our discussion on sanctification, okay? This process, this journey of becoming more like Christ, or more holy, if you will. And we're going to continue to do so through this analogy of a road trip, okay? Now, if you've missed weeks one or two of the series, you can always go to our website, revivewesleyan.com, and you can give them a listen. And this series, I just got to tell you, it's been met with really great response. I'd also encourage you to grab one of these little maps at the Connection Center. That'll help you throughout the journey. And I got to also say that this is important stuff, okay? Can you say important stuff? This is important stuff, okay? Because the fact of the matter is that sanctification is a journey that God has called each of us to enter into, okay? He's called each of us as believers to embrace. In fact, in the book of Thessalonians, it says that God's will, do you know what it says? It says that God's will is that you be sanctified. It doesn't get much clearer than that, does it? Now, with that today, I want to specifically try and help us to answer the question we may all ask ourselves about this journey of becoming more like Christ, and that question is this, am I there yet, right? Or in other words, where am I on the journey of becoming more like Jesus? Now, when a child may ask, you know, are we there yet on a physical road trip? A more helpful answer than maybe the snarky ones that I gave earlier. It may be to tell them to wait for the next mile marker on the highway so that we can tell how long we have left to journey, right, and to travel. Or today, you know, you could refer them to Google Maps or Apple Maps, depending on your persuasion, which is another heated debate in my family, okay? But with those tools, you can pretty quickly identify how far you've come, right? And how much further you have to go. Well, did you know when it comes to our journey in spirituality towards sanctification, did you know that the Word of God, it provides you and I with mile markers also to answer this question of are we there yet? Am I there yet? Or where am I on my journey of becoming more like Christ? And these mile markers, if you will, provided by God, they are pretty clear, okay? And they're found in the book of Galatians, verses 22 and 23 of chapter 5. And this all is commonly referred to as the fruit of the Spirit. So let's read them, okay? Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, otherwise known as patience, okay, in other good translations, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, God's word says, there is no law. Now, before we move on, as a little aside, but a very important one, you should have noticed, okay, that the first aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, what was it? It was love, wasn't it? Which I want to just take a moment to properly define. And this is because the love I've spoken here, it has been confused, okay, with other types of love. And this is partially because the Greek language, okay, has several words for love, whereas in English, we only really have one word, right? I mean, we use the same word to say we love our fathers, happy Father's Day again, that we do to say that we love tacos. Any other taco lovers in here? Right? Amen, right? But that's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? It's kind of ridiculous to use the same word for love for those different levels of feeling that we are trying to describe and communicate. Well, with that, in the passage that we just read in the Greek, the word used for love here is agape. Agape. And agape love is different in the Greek from other types of love, with the essence of agape love being goodwill and being benevolent and this willful delight in another person, okay? So agape is not used in the New Testament to refer to romantic or sexual love. That word is eros. That's what's used for that. And nor does agape love, the form of love spoken of here in Galatians 5, nor does that refer to like close relationship or brotherly love. For that, the Greek word phileia is used because agape love, okay, agape love involves things like faithfulness and commitment, the deepest commitment, the deepest faithfulness. It's the love God has for us, okay? And meaning that it takes an act of the will, okay, to utilize it for people different than us. It takes an act of a will. It takes the work of the Spirit and an act of our will for those that maybe we don't like or those that don't care for us. It's not this wishy-washy feeling is what I'm trying to say. And it's not easy, okay? For again, it takes an act of the willpower, which is why it can only come from the Holy Spirit of God. And it is the kind or the level of love that God has, again, for each and every one of us and all of creation and humanity. And I believe, okay, that it is listed first here in the fruit of the Spirit because it is closely connected to all the ones that follow it. So God asks that we agape everyone. But that doesn't look the same for each person. I mean, for one person, it may mean, you know, being gentle because they're in a fragile state. While for another, we may have to focus on things like more faithfulness and patience because they have been, I don't know, maybe they've been betrayed or maybe they've even betrayed you. End of aside on the topic of love. But again, it's an important one to delineate this form of it as we continue to further understand the fruit of the Spirit. And I want you to note that the word said that there is no what? There is no law against these things. There is no law against these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, do you know what that means? There is no circumstance in life. There is no stressful scenario. There is no conflict, church, that can't be improved or benefit from the fruit of the Spirit that's listed here in Galatians. But the problem, you see, is that many Christians, okay, many of us, we find ourselves in this, that we focus on trying to get just a couple of these right, or maybe another one, right? And thus we may come up with excuses. Things like, you know what, well, I'm pretty joyful, I'm pretty peaceful, but I struggle with self-control, but you know what, that's okay. That's okay because I'm doing good in other areas. But unfortunately, I hate to be the bearer of this news, but unfortunately, that's not what we're commanded to. For we are commanded to display all of these. For it is one fruit. Now, to remember this, or perhaps wrap our brains around this, what do I have here? An apple, right? And I also have here this little stick, slick tool. It's supposed to reside in a drawer in the cabinet, but if I put the dishes away, it ends up in the wrong spot. Just self-confession. But I have this, too. And did you ever see one of these? Yeah, it's pretty cool. What it can do is it just kind of, you push down, you put a little pressure on it, and it, if you're strong enough, you cut that baby, right? But what is it still? It's still an apple, isn't it? It's still an apple. I do that to say this. That is quite similar to how the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit consisting of nine areas, nine sections, yet we, too often, we get stuck, okay? We get stuck maybe finding ourselves on the side of the road or at a prolonged rest stop, at a rest area for far too long or even prematurely in our trip. We get stuck by that mindset that I possess some aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, so I'm good. We get stuck in that. Do you see that? And I don't know about you, but man, I've stopped at some pretty janky, okay, low quality, gross, even seemingly dangerous rest areas. I just have during some of the physical road trips that I've been on. So I say that to say this, places I wouldn't want to get stuck at. Well, listen to me, the Lord, do you know what? The Lord, okay, listen to me. The Lord doesn't want us to be spiritually stuck. He doesn't want us to be spiritually stuck at any one spot either, because the adventure, do you get it? The adventure still lies ahead. The beautiful beach, the mountains, the amusement park, I don't know, the Harley rally, it lies ahead. So we should want to move on. We should want to move forward in our faith as fast as He is leading us. Note, I didn't say as fast as possible. This just came to me this morning, by the way. As fast as He is leading us. You see, we got to understand this is His work in us. We talked about that in week one. So don't run ahead, okay? But don't lag behind either. That's why relationship with your Heavenly Father is so important. You need to sense where He is taking you and leading you and growing you. So don't run as fast as possible. Run at the pace He's calling you to run. Walk at the pace He's calling you to walk. But keep moving forward. Don't buy into the lie that I'm okay because I have two of these going for me. Don't buy it, okay? So truth be told, we can best move on through the journey of sanctification if we identify from this list where we are the weakest and make an effort with the leading again of the power of the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, to display all of them. Now, I do want to take a quick second to point something out before we move on, okay? And that is this. Many Christians, okay, mix this fruit of the Spirit list up with spiritual gifts, okay, which are found throughout Scripture, with 1 Corinthians 12 being referred to most often. But this fruit of the Spirit is different. It is different than spiritual gifts. And yes, the Lord extends, the Lord offers several gifts to His children, several spiritual gifts to you and I. For example, some may be gifted in healing, while others may be the gift, you know, if prophecy is their thing. While others may have the gift of teaching or hospitality or speaking in or interpreting tongues, but the word is clear, okay, that the Lord does not give all spiritual gifts to everyone. That is where the beauty of the body of Christ comes into picture, okay? Because by each person exercising, each person flourishing in their individual spiritual gifts and working in conjunction with one another, through that, the entire body is built up. all for the greater good of the church, all for the greater good of the kingdom of God. But my point being today is this, okay? Not all spiritual gifts are given to an individual. But, can you say but? Thank you. That was good. All the fruit of the Spirit is available. All the fruit of the Spirit is even expected of each person who is in the body of Christ, of the church. And if we go on reading in Galatians, I'm not making stuff up, okay? Verses 24 and 25, we actually see this command from the Lord himself. Let's read it. Verse 24 and 25. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And the New Living Translation of verse 25 says it this way: follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Did you hear that? In what part of our lives? Every part of our lives. So if we belong to Christ, in other words, if we have accepted his saving grace, thus experiencing the miracle of things like justification, in that moment, church, of salvation, we are called and in fact commanded to allow the Spirit to lead us in every part of our lives and to strive for obedience by the display of the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, once we receive Jesus into our life, okay, listen to me. Once we receive Jesus into our lives, the physical sacrifice that Christ made on that cross is to result in the spiritual sacrifice of our sinful nature, to be replaced by his Holy One that he offers us and empowers us toward if we allow him. We are to die to self to live for him. We are to die to self to live for him and according to his ways. Romans 6, 11 to 14. Go read it later. And I'm telling you what, it is at this junction, okay, where the progress and the journey of sanctification, that is where that really begins. Because you see, the Holy Spirit has the power. He has the power to eliminate all inbred sin from our lives, original sin, and the sin of the human heart. And from that point on, throughout the rest of our lives and into eternity, he continues to have the power, don't you see, to lead us out and away from sin, which is a progressive journey towards sanctification. But it begins, you see, at that moment. It begins at that moment, and as we continue to intentionally participate with the Holy Spirit of God. And in saying this, Paul actually tells us what to do with those sins. He tells us what to do in this passage from Galatians. In essence, that we are to nail them. We are to nail them and our sinful nature overall to the cross because Christ went there for it. The verse said, those of us, okay, we who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. And the way of crucifixion is by nailing to the cross, right? But you may ask, what does that sinful nature look like? Good question. Good question. Well, interestingly and helpfully enough, God has Paul clearly describe what that looks like. Now, he did it just previously to the verses that we've already read, so just backtrack with me a little bit to verse 16 to 21, and I'm going to read that for us. It says this: so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh, it goes on to say, are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, says Paul, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, church, Paul explains here what the sinful nature looks like. And then in verse 22, which we read earlier, he wrote, but the fruit of the Spirit, right? And the but is there to delineate between the two. So track with me kind of how we just talked about the mile markers and how to identify how far we've come or not come along in our sanctification journey with the fruit. Well, just similar to that, this list of sins can act as mile markers. Or maybe better yet, with our road trip analogy, maybe they're check engine lights. And where sin is still keeping us from God's best and from God's plan. And after reading this sin list, I have to say, okay, that it is easy to fall again into that similar trap that we talked about earlier with the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the whole mindset of, well, you know, 90% of those I don't struggle with, so I'm doing pretty good. But the problem is, okay, that the list that we just read, that is most helpful perhaps to identify areas in our life that we may still be holding on to, that we may not still be releasing fully to the work of the Lord. And Paul says that our sinful nature is opposite, didn't he? He said that is opposite of what God wants to do. That is opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants. And he states that these two forces are constantly at war with one another. And again, it may be very easy to look at this list and feel like we're doing mostly good things, right? And maybe very few of the bad things, and just leave it at that. But unfortunately, I got to tell you, unfortunately, that is where and that is when most Christians get stuck. And going back to our road trip analogy, it's easy to get stuck on a road trip when we ignore the dashboard and its indicator lights, right? It's easy to get stuck on a trip, whether they be warnings regarding the engine or the oil or the tire pressure or electrical issues. And we know enough to know if left ignored, the journey is what? It can be halted, where we find ourselves stuck until we address them. And the longer we wait to address them, I'm not the best at maintenance, okay? I'm just being real. The longer we wait to address these things physically with our cars, usually what? The higher the cost, right? Both financially and to the trip if we're on a trip. Well, listen, today Jesus is calling us. He is calling you through these scriptures to acknowledge all that is holding us back and all that is keeping us stuck. All of our sinful nature. He is calling us to acknowledge the warning signs and nail them to the cross. And he will deal with them. And he will help us through our surrender to the Holy Spirit's power. Start to and see an end to them all because he died for it all. And he wants us to surrender to the all of him and all that he has for us and calls us to. Because at the end of the day, our sinful nature and the fruit of the Spirit, again, they are in conflict with one another. That's just a fact, okay? And we cannot live a sanctified life if we are allowing the darkness of a sinful nature to remain alive and active as we attempt to display the fruit of the Spirit. We can't do it. And let's just agree, let's admit it. This is no easy task, okay? But again, it is, I believe, it is why so many Christians get stuck. Stuck in the almost, right? Almost, but not yet wilderness on their journey of sanctification. Now, we mentioned in week one of the series the idea of entire sanctification. Do you remember that? A term in Wesleyan circles, okay? And elsewhere, but it's also often referred to as Christian perfection. Now, this term, I'll be the first to admit, has been a highly debated one over the years. However, John Wesley, the faith giant from whom our denomination derives its name, He believed and he taught upon scrubbing the scriptures, upon observing Christian life. He believed and taught on Christian perfection. And he did that throughout his ministry. But he was highly questioned about it. So eventually, Wesley declared and clarified a little bit what he meant. And he did so by sharing this, okay? By perfection, I, stated Wesley, by perfection, I mean the humble, the gentle, and the patient love of God and our neighbor, ruling our tempers, our words, and our actions, the all of us. So in other words, what he was saying is that it really comes down to what is driving us. What is driving us? And is it the love of ourselves? Is it the love of our own pleasure? Or is it truly the love of God? Is it truly the love of others? Or are we in the way? The idea of Christian perfection or entire sanctification, it comes to fruition when we fully release, you see. When we fully release what is driving us that is not of God. When we release that into the hands of God, when we nail that to the cross. But let's be honest again, it's very easy, okay, to hang on to our sinful nature. It's very easy, partly because it's become what are familiar with, right? It's become what we know. And since we have all been forgiven, okay, we also have free will. Though we've been forgiven, we have free will. That makes it extra challenging. But God doesn't want puppets. He wants our heart. He wants a desire from you. He wants you to take a step. We may live knowing that our sins have been cleansed, forgiven, but listen to me, the full scope of the gospel is that when and then that happens, we need to respond, okay, to this grace cleansing. We need to respond to it, accomplished by Christ's death. We are called to respond to that by a conscious release of our sinful nature to the continued work of the Lord and where he wants to take us. And I will be the first to admit that this release, it can take time, but we are called to do it. We are called to move forward on the journey. And for each person, it may be different. I mean, you know, for some, it's mere moments, maybe days. But for most, I believe it is a lifetime of growing more and more into the likeness of Jesus that we are called to live in. So as we journey throughout this life and self-examine what drives us and where we are in this journey of becoming more like him, by considering how we are displaying the fruit of the Spirit, we should see, okay, growth. We should see improvement day by day, season by season, year by year, as we reveal, you see, more and more of the fruit, as he eliminates more and more of our sinful nature by our cooperation with him, with God. So, I go back to the question from earlier. Where are you on your journey of becoming more like Jesus? Deal with that with him. That's the question today. And how many times, okay, how many times do you or I make the excuse that we're doing mostly good, right? Minimally bad, determining, meh, right? Meh, I'm in a pretty good place. Meh. God doesn't like meh. That's lukewarm. Meh is lukewarm. I'm just saying, and the word is warning you and I today, that this mindset locks us in place. It keeps us stuck at the gas station. It keeps us stuck at that janky rest area. And it gives the enemy, as the word says, it gives the enemy a foothold to rule and to reign that we aren't ready to release to him. And it's like a poison that just allows the darkness to spread. And this is why, okay, this is why, again, so many followers of Christ find themselves still wanting more or feeling like there is more. It's why many find themselves living a complacent and a stagnant life. So take a look, okay? Take a look at the mile markers in your life, per Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Pay attention to the warning lights in your life, Galatians 5, 16 to 21. Do that today, do it often, to see how far you've come or how far you have not come. and how far you still have to go. Identify what part of the fruit of the Spirit that you are struggling with and call it out. Call it out. Don't settle for the lie that you aren't meant to be patient or something because God didn't create you that way. Don't fall for it. That's wrong, okay? That's wrong. You may not have the spiritual gift of teaching or tongues or go down that list, but you are called. We are called to the fruit of the Spirit, including to be, for example, patient or whichever one it is that you struggle with. You and I are called to all nine aspects and a growth and a journey towards those. And don't fall for the lie, okay, that you've been freed from the temptations of, I don't know, which one, lust or pornography, I don't know. Don't fall for the lie that you've been freed from that and so you can ignore the warning light on your dash that flashes temper or something. And don't fall for the lie that pornography is worse sinning than sinning in your anger. So you're in a good spot. Don't fall for that lie. My challenge to all of us, okay, is to release all that we are, all that we have to the power of the Holy Spirit and all that he can do in and through us and claim the victory of what ails you today. Claim the victory of what ails you in the future. And please remember what Paul said in Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, with that said, just two quick things before we wrap up. And one of this is this. Shame. Did you hear me? Shame. Shame is not of God. It is not of God. God may be convicting you this morning or me regarding some areas of our life that we need to work on and release to him, and that's okay. But to feel shameful, okay, because you aren't where you should be, that isn't of the Lord. He just wants you to deal with it. He wants you to deal with it. It is the enemy that wants you and I to feel shamed and unworthy so that you or I give up trying. That's the enemy's tactic. God wants us to be convicted, yes, but also drawn into his presence to deal with it, to do business with him. And that is true despite how far away you feel this morning. That's true. And with that said, one of the best tools that we've been given to move forward on our sanctification journey is in one word, accountability. Accountability. Take this journey with others. Allow others to enter in with you, to sharpen you. Ask tough questions of one another. Hold one another accountable. And with that said, ask yourself this morning, who do you have in your life that you can share your sin struggles with? Who is it? If it's nobody, you got to work on that. Now, in the coming months, we're going to continue to teach on the importance of community and the accountability that it brings. In fact, I'll mention this once again. I did last week, but if you're not in a small group, a community group, we really want to build those up this fall. So to get on the list to be contacted about those, all you got to do is text the word group to 716-649-6335. And most importantly, remember, okay, becoming like Jesus, it isn't something we can do apart from Jesus. We need the power. We need the power of his Holy Spirit to enable us to become like him. And it is allowing the Lord to work in ways that we simply cannot. Apart from God, we can't produce any of the fruit, not in its purest or lasting form. So spend some extra time with him this week. Pray. Use this series map and the reading plan to go through the scriptures, put on some worship music, and through it all and throughout all of this week, take those moments, maybe even over these next moments, take some time to examine where you are on this journey of becoming more like him. Now, as the worship team comes forward, I'm going to pray in a second, but we're going to do something a little different this morning. You can come up. During this song, I'm going to move this cross right down yonder. And I got a box of nails. It's Father's Day, right? I know women use nails too and hammers, but it's kind of fitting for this day and what we've talked about. I've got a box of nails. I got a hammer. And if the Lord spoke to you today about something that you just nailed to the cross, you're invited to come do this during this song and just release it to the Lord in that way. You can stand for worship if you'd like.